Good morning. The reading today is taken from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 2, and then verses 8 to 11, and can be found on page 77 of the Blue Church Bible. That's page 77, Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, and then skipping to verses 8 to 11. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And now we're moving over the page to verses 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all of your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. Great to see you today. I'm afraid I've got a difficult question for you. The difficult question is this. When did you last stop? When did you last stop? And by that question, I don't mean sitting in front of the sofa with the TV on and your thumb kind of mindlessly scrolling. Neither do I mean half-resting while your phone is on the coffee table, constantly vibrating with people wanting to get hold of you. And nor do I mean sitting in stillness while mentally you're running through all of the things that you've got to do on your to-do list. I mean deeply, deliberately, properly stopping. Stillness, silence, at rest. If you can't remember the last time you did that, you are definitely not alone. We live in a world that has declared war on the phrase enough, more efficiency, more connectivity, more productivity. Even our hobbies have to become side hustles these days. But there's a deeper issue as well. It's not just that our lives are busy, it's that for many of us, we're scared what might happen if we stop. Have you ever noticed that the moment when we do have a bit of stillness, the inner voices get louder? When we stop, we're forced to confront the questions that we would rather avoid. Who am I if I can't be as useful as I would like? Am I still valuable if I'm not being 100% productive all the time? If I stop moving, will everything I've built come crashing down? And we don't really like those questions. We're pretty sure we're not going to like the answers to them either. And so we keep moving. We blur the edges between work and life. We maintain a sort of constant low-level motion because that feels like we get some kind of sense of control back. We use our busyness as a proof of a life well-lived, but all the time we just feel like hamsters caught in a wheel, don't we? I'm going to be honest with you. I find this hard. I have not mastered the fourth commandment. You might be able to tell from the bags beneath my eyes that I'm preaching this to myself just as much as I'm preaching it to you. I think it's really, really important, though. I think we really need to hear this message. As I've been praying over it and writing it this week, I've been thinking maybe this is one of the most relevant messages that God has had for us in a while. Here's what I want us to do this morning. We're going to get to the question of how, because that's really important. I am going to get there. But first, I think we need to see why God gives us this command to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Two reasons to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy this morning, and then we'll get to the how. The Sabbath isn't a slow down sign that God is placing on our lives just to annoy us. It is a protest, and it is a blessing. And if we understand both of those reasons for the Sabbath, then it's going to change not just one day in seven, but our whole lives. So here's the first reason for keeping the Sabbath day holy. Stop. It's a protest. Stop, because God wants us to protest against the slavery of this world. You might have noticed that as we read Exodus chapter 20, that the reason for the Sabbath command there is creation. And we're going to come to that. But 40 years later, when the Ten Commandments were repeated, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, which it might be useful to flick there actually, it's on page 184. When the Ten Commandments are completed, Moses gives a completely different reason for the Sabbath command. So Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. In Egypt, there was no Sabbath. Pharaoh's economy was built entirely on more. More bricks, less straw, no pause. In Egypt, a human being wasn't considered made in the image of God. A human being was nothing more than a unit of labor. You were worth exactly what you produced yesterday, and only as good as what you could work for and produce tomorrow. Stop, and you'd be useless. Useless, and you'd be discarded. That's the logic of slavery. And for Israel, after 400 years of that, that kind of logic was baked into their bones. So even after they've left Egypt, Egypt hadn't left them. There was like this phantom whip that cracked every time they even thought about stopping. Their chains were off, but the posture of a slave was very much still there. Head down, keep moving, earn your place. Liberation on the outside had not yet become freedom in their hearts. So God gives Israel the Sabbath day as a weekly kind of de-Egypting ritual. Every 7 days, put down those tools. Step out of that system. Declare with your body and your life, I'm not a slave anymore. My worth is not my output. My life is not sustained by frantic activity, but by the hand of the God who loves me. Notice how comprehensive this protest is. So still in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 14, on it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Everybody stops. In the ancient world, and maybe to some extent today, kings rest while peasants work. Masters nap while slaves sweat. But in God's economy, the whole community rests together. It's a repeated, visible declaration. We are not slaves. We're obviously not in ancient Egypt. But Pharaoh is still very much alive. Our productivity masters are the performance review or the LinkedIn feed that makes us feel like we're falling behind, or the internal whisper that says you can only rest when you've really earned it, which of course is never. God has commanded that one day in seven should be a protest against our slave masters, our masters of productivity. We don't belong to them anymore. Stop. It's a protest. There's a reason that this command begins with the word remember. Not keep, not observe, remember. Because our God knows how absolutely forgetful every single one of us is. We forget that we're free. We forget that our worth as God's children has nothing to do with our productivity. We forget that the world rests on God's shoulders, not ours. We forget that our new master is the Lord Jesus. He is gentle and lowly. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. But we forget all of those things. We forget those wonderful gospel realities, and instead we put our chains back on and live that hard work righteousness logic instead. The Sabbath is God's weekly reminder to cure that amnesia. One day in seven when we are commanded, not invited, commanded to remember that the world does not depend on me. But let's be honest about what that costs. Because if the Sabbath is genuinely a protest, then our slave masters are not going to let us go lightly, are they? Our inboxes, our deadlines, our workplace cultures will not respect it. They will make stopping feel like professional negligence. They will try to make us feel like the mature, adult, sensible thing to do is to just keep going. By stopping for one day in seven, you will stand out as different, as other, as difficult, as odd. Because that's what's happened. That's what always happens when something is treated as holy. It's set apart. But here's what I want us to see. Yes, there's a cost to stopping, but the cost of not stopping is far, far greater. If we cannot stop, then we are forgetting who we belong to. And what a poor way to worship our redeeming, rescuing God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Why? Because it's a protest. One day in seven where we say no to all of those productivity masters. I don't belong to you anymore. You are not where my value comes from. The how of this is coming. But first, let's see another reason to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Stop. It's a blessing. We're going to flick back to Exodus 20. If you lost it, it's on page 78. Back in Exodus 20, verse 11, Israel are told to keep the Sabbath for this reason. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. We tend to rush past this. We think of the Sabbath as primarily recovery time. A phone plugged into a charger so that it can get back up to 100 before running again. But that's not the biblical picture of Sabbath. God didn't just empty the seventh day of work. He filled it. He blessed it as a gift to be enjoyed. And that gift is rooted in completion. That gift is rooted in what is finished. So Genesis 1, God's creating work is described in 6 days. And then we read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, this. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. God doesn't just stop. He blesses that seventh day. He sanctifies it. That seventh day isn't blank. It's a full stop, deliberate, placed, and for declaring the world good, very good. So think about an artist that has spent months on creating a canvas. Every brushstroke was perfectly deliberate. Every color had been considered. And finally, he puts the brush down, not because he's exhausted, but because the painting is done. He leans back, he looks in, and he takes everything in. That is the rest that we're talking about. Not the rest of exhaustion, but the rest of satisfaction, the rest of celebrating what is complete. The Sabbath is God's invitation for us to step into that same completion and satisfaction. To remember for one day in seven, this is super important, hear this. To remember for one day in seven that even if our work isn't complete, God's work is. What a blessing. Even though revision isn't finished and the inbox isn't clear, God commands us to enjoy what he has finished. To enjoy all the good things that he has made. Enjoying a meal with people you love. Sitting in a garden and noticing how the light comes through the leaves. Watching the sunset and knowing that the spinning earth has nothing to do with you and what you can do. But here's the thing. However good it is for us to stop and enjoy what God has made, most of us find that we can't quite get there. Not fully or not for long. Because the world doesn't feel finished. It feels fractured. Our own lives don't feel finished. They feel broken. Underneath the invitation to enjoy what God has made, there is a persistent voice that whispers, yes, but look at all the mess. Look at what still needs fixing all around me. Look at what I have broken. That's why the blessing of Sabbath that Christians can enjoy is far, far greater than even the blessing of Sabbath that Israel could enjoy in Exodus. It's still the blessing of resting in God's completed work, but there's another greater layer to it. So on a Friday afternoon on a hill outside Jerusalem, you can see where this is going, Jesus hung on a cross. He had lived the perfect life that we could never live. He was bearing the judgment that we deserve. And just before he drew his final breath, he cried out these words, "It is finished." Not, "I've done my best." Not, "I hope this is enough." Finished. The work of your salvation, done. The need to prove your worth, finished. The debt you owed, paid in full. And then Jesus rested. His work was complete. On the first day of a new week, he rose. And in his rising, he didn't merely conform the cross. He established a new creation. The rest he offers isn't the rest of lying in a tomb. It is the rest of resurrection in a world made whole and new and right. A future utterly secure. A life that can never end and is full in Jesus' presence. As the writer of the Hebrews put it in chapter 4, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest, also rests from their works, just as God rested from his. Every Sabbath in the Old Testament was a signpost to this. Every Christian Sunday is a foretaste of it, a weekly rehearsal of the new creation rest that is coming, a regular reminder that we all need, that the story doesn't end in chaos and mess, but in rest. This is where the fourth commandment meets the gospel. Under Egypt, you work to keep on living. Under the law, you work to earn your righteousness. Under the gospel, you rest because the work has been done for you. We don't keep the Sabbath to get God to love us. We keep the Sabbath because he already does. We don't stop to earn a break. We stop because Christ has earned our eternal peace. And knowing that is the only thing that can quiet our restless hearts. Those are the two reasons to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. It's a protest and it's a blessing. But now the tricky bit, how? How do we actually do this? How do I remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy? Not just as a kind of a theological idea, but in the reality of our busy, messy lives. Three answers. I want to be really honest about these, because it's really hard. Firstly, remember that perfect rest is still to come. The rest that Hebrews 4 describes, that Sabbath rest of the people of God, is not something we can fully expect or see now. It means that the Sabbath we keep today is always going to be partial. It's always going to be have a sense of incompleteness about it. It's a foretaste, not the full feast. And this matters because I think many of us carry a sort of guilt around our inability to rest properly, as if a well-ordered life would make this commandment straightforward, and our failure to achieve it is a major spiritual failing. But this commandment is given to people in a broken world, not a complete one. The parent of small children, the middle-aged person caring after elderly, sick parents, or the person who's just holding on to three different jobs all at once, those people aren't failing the Sabbath. They're living honestly in the tension between what is the reality now and what is yet to come. So what I don't want us to do is to aim for perfection and then, falling short of that, give up entirely. That's not what we do. What I want us to do is essentially lower the bar, not out of laziness, but out of realism. Shaped by the story of Scripture, where rest, perfect rest, is at the end, not now. So an imperfect hour of rest is not a failed Sabbath. It's a signpost pointing forward to the day where rest will finally be complete, uninterrupted and freely given. We do settle for less than perfect rest now, but that's because we know what is coming is more than enough. So, first way, remember that perfect rest is still to come. It's not now. Second way, remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy, by keeping it in your heart first. The Sabbath is an attitude before it's a schedule. Sabbath means cease, stop. And at its deepest level, what you're stopping, what you're ceasing, isn't activity. It is striving. What you're stopping is the driven, anxious, I must produce energy that treats every hour as if it has to be justified. That striving can be present in paid work, but it can also be present in housework, in parenting, in church serving too. And it can be absent from all of them. You can care for an elderly relative from a place of rested trust, knowing that you're not their savior. You can do the school run, cook the dinner, serve at church, and underneath it have the quiet that says, the world doesn't depend on me. Christ has finished what I never could. Jesus puts it this way, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Not finish your list, then come. Not earn the right, then come. Just come in the middle of the busyness of life. That rest is available to you while you're still busy, in the middle of the impossible week, not just at the end of it. It's that moment of lowering the shoulders and of saying quietly, even now, yeah, my work isn't done yet, but Jesus' work is finished. Resting in him. It's his work that's complete. And that gives me peace, even when mine isn't done. Final way we keep the Sabbath, by remembering the Sabbath together. The commandment in Exodus or in Deuteronomy was never given to individuals in isolation. Everyone stops together, which means that for the Sabbath to be kept, some of us are going to have to make it possible for the rest of us. It's a community thing. We all tend to carry our exhaustion privately, apart from those moments where people say, how are you? And we reply, busy. But other than that, we remain completely isolated in our busyness. All of us are convinced that everyone else seems to be carrying the exhaustion better than we are. But this commandment works in two directions. If rest feels impossible for you, the question is this, who could I tell? And if rest does feel possible for you, the question is, who can I help? This is not like extra credit Christianity. This is just how a community obeys the command to Sabbath. We're not meant to rest while other people carry everything. We all help one another stop, even if that's not all at the same time. So think about someone in this church, maybe sitting near you right now, who hasn't had an uninterrupted hour to themselves for weeks. They're probably not going to say anything. They're too used to carrying it themselves. What if, after the service today, you simply ask, how are you actually doing? And what if your response to their reply wasn't just a sympathetic word, but a practical offer? I'll take the kids. I'll sit with your parent this afternoon. You can have some time to rest. No phone, no responsibility, just peace. That's Sabbath. It's not a private discipline that each of us individually pursues on our own. It's something that a church together makes possible for one another. By the way, if that picture feels very distant to you, maybe you're new here, maybe you don't have someone that you can talk to on that level, you're not forgotten by this command. Actually, this command is an invitation for you to belong to that sort of community. It's also a challenge for the rest of us to make belonging feel easier for new people or people that are on the edge. How do I keep the Sabbath? Remember that perfect rest is still to come. Rest in your heart, rest in Christ, and remember the Sabbath together. Just stop. One day in seven. Stop in protest. Stop. It's a blessing. Stop together. Because God's work is finished, even when ours is not. And in that stopping, we worship him. Let's pray. Father God, we confess that we find this hard. We're in a world that worships the God of productivity. Please help us to be different. Please help us to worship you by stopping. Father, we pray that you would help us to help one another to do that. We pray that you'd help us to look forward to that eternal rest and enjoy a taste of it now. Father, we just pray for your Holy Spirit to work this radical change in us, which seems so alien. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that we can come to you when we're weary and burdened. Thank you that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Please give us rest for our souls. Amen.